we grow, and you who feed us with your living word. Lord, we ask your help to come open-minded and open-hearted to the living word, that we hear it, understand it, receive it in our being, and live as you've intended us to live from the beginnings of creation until forever. Move in each of us in a clear and obvious way to make it evident that this is your church, that we are your people, and that you are the living and eternal God who hears and answers our every prayer. We pray this in the transcendent Father, the omnipresence.
Our first reading is a reading from the book of Judges. All the citizens of Shechem and all Beth Millo came together and proceeded to make Abimelech king by the terebinth at the memorial pillar of Shechem. When this was reported to him, Jotham went up to the top of Mount Gerizim, and there, standing, cried out to them in a loud voice, "Hear me, citizens of Shechem, that God may then hear you. Once the trees went to anoint a king over themselves. So they said to the olive tree, 'Reign over us.' But the olive tree answered them, 'Must I give up my rich oil, whereby men and gods are honored, and go wave over the trees?' Then the trees came to the fig tree, 'Come, you reign over us.' But the fig tree answered, 'Must I give up my sweetness and my good fruit, and go wave over the trees?' Then the trees said to the vine, 'Come, you reign over us.' But the vine answered them, 'Must I give up my wine that cheers gods and men, and go wave over the trees?' Then all the trees said to the buckthorn, 'Come, you reign over us.' But the buckthorn replied to the trees, 'If you wish to anoint me king over you in good faith, come and take refuge in my shadow. Otherwise, let fire come from the buckthorn and devour the cedars of Lebanon.'" This is the word of the Lord. Our psalm is 21, and the response is, "Lord, in your strength, the king is glad. Lord, in your strength, the king is glad. O Lord, in your strength, the king is glad. In your victory, how greatly he rejoices. You have granted him his heart's desire. You refuse not the wish of his lips. Lord, in your strength, the king is glad. You welcomed him gladly with goodly blessings. You placed on his head a crown of pure gold. He asked you for life, and you gave him length of days forever and ever. Lord, in your strength, the king is glad. Great is his glory in your victory. Majesty and splendor you conferred upon him. You made him a blessing forever. You gladdened him with the joy of your face. Lord, in your strength, the king is glad. Alleluia, alleluia. The word of God is living and effective, able to discern the reflections and thoughts of the heart. Alleluia, alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire his laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Going out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You too, go into my vineyard, and I will give you what is just." So they went off. And then he went out again around noon and around 3 and did likewise. Going out about 5, he found others standing around and said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They answered, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You too, go into my vineyard." When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first." When those who had started about 5 o'clock came, each received the usual daily wage. So when the first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them got also the usual wage. So when the and on receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last ones worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who bore the day's heat and burden." He said to one of them in reply, "My friend, I am not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I'm generous? Thus the last will be first, and the first will be last." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
We have two parables here, and I want to introduce a third to begin with. George Gurdjieff wrote a magnum opus, great work, called Beelzebub's Tales to His Grandson. And he calls it an impartial criticism of man, an impartial look at the human species. And he does it from the standpoint of a parable about a space traveler who comes upon this planet, and he sees these strange biped three-brained beings who cover the surface of the Earth. And he starts to enumerate to his grandson some of the qualities and traits that most identify these bipeds. And one of them, he says, and probably the most prominent of all, is suggestibility. He says their suggestibility is one of their prime features. Well, that suggestibility could be called by a summary term the herd instinct. We are mimics. We mimic what's going on around us. We adopt the values of the culture. We adopt the values of people that we admire, athletes or movie stars. But we're impressionable or suggestible. Now, in Judges, the story that Jotham is shouting from the top of Mount Shechem is a parable addressed to the people of Shechem who want to make Abimelech their king. And so he says, "People of Shechem, listen to this. Here's what's going to happen. The trees were looking for someone to rule over them, and so they asked, first of all, the olive. And the olive was perfectly content doing what it did best, producing olive oil, being creative, doing its part in creation, and it describes its interactivity. It blesses the ceremonies of men. I'm a blessing, and I'm created by my Father. Why would I want to quit doing my part in order to attempt to wave over others?" And I like that kind of a kingly gesture, you know, waving over others. And so we move to the fig tree, and the same thing. Fig tree said, "Well, why would I want to do anything different than what I've been made to do? I have fruit. My fruit works for people. I love what I do. I was made for this. Why would I want to stop being myself and tell others what to do? And the vine, of course, the last one, same response. I have fruit that cheers the hearts of men. I love growing as I do. I love giving my gifts. And I'm part of creation that God made this way. Why would I want to stop being myself and tell others what to do? Last comes the buckthorn. Now, I looked up buckthorn because I didn't know much about it. It's up in North America. It's an invasive species. It grows maybe a dozen trunks. It's maybe 20 feet tall, and it spreads way out. It spreads way out, covers a lot of area. And so they say that the buckthorn, well, would you wave over us, be our king? Buckthorn says, yeah, if you'll get under my shade, and you can go to hell if you don't. In other words, I don't care about you. I could care less about you. Now, at this time, the people in the area were looking around at other people, and they had kings. Well, we want to have a king too. Everybody's got a king. Why can't we have a king? What about God, say the prophets? What about listening to God and being directed by God, as our people always have? No, we want to have a king. And so this one that finally says yes is all thorny, and it doesn't care a dang about the other trees. He says, if you'll get under my shade. Well, under the shade of an authoritarian, prickly ruler, there's no life. Life is in the light. And each of the trees doing its own work, doing its thing that it was created to do, not only has its own life, but it gives life to the world around it. And the buckthorn is an egoic presence with prickly spines all over it. And it says, get under my shade, and yeah, I'll wave over you, and go to hell if you don't want to do that. Now, here's an example of the people wanting to ape their neighbors, wanting to feel legitimated, wanting to feel like they belonged, wanting to do it like the other guys do. And so now we move to the vineyard, and the owner of the vineyard is often used as a description of Israel. The people of God are a vineyard. In a vineyard, you expect to get some fruit. The owner of the vineyard wants to get something out of the vineyard. He wants grapes and he wants wine. So he goes to hire workers. And then, by the way, the landowner, of course, is God. He goes to hire workers. And he goes in the serial fashion that we heard. But this is not very satisfying to the people, who were initially quite glad to have work. But they, in aping the values of the culture, saw a quid pro quo, a this for that, human justice. It's not fair. We did more work and you paid them the same. And when I first read this parable, I'm telling you, I had a little difficulty with, well, I don't think that is fair. That's not right, because there should be some acknowledgement of effort made, some value placed on more rather than less. But now remember, we're not aping the values of the culture here. Here are the values of God being offered gratuitously in this beautiful parable by Jesus. And when we feel outraged at the injustices we see around us and want to put our values on the things that go on in others' lives, we're kind of like the buckthorn. We're kind of like waving over them, not caring about them, not worrying about or being concerned for their well-being or the sense that God put everybody's free will into them to choose and to use as they wish. But instead, quid pro quo, this for that. And it has to do with quantities. Quantities of effort and quantities of reward. And landowner is saying, I'm a generous landowner. I give what I will of what I have to whoever I want. How dare you question me? Aren't you just happy to have the job? They weren't initially, but then they became envious and invidious. And they were not happy anymore. And they went away sad. Now, they've all got paid. There was fruit harvested. Everything went as it should. But why is Jesus telling this parable to these people? Why does he want them to know about God's justice as opposed to man's justice? Or God's gracious outpouring of all good, whether we deserve it by human standards or not? Human standards do not apply to God. Human standards are imposed on our little souls as we're little kids, and we adopt the ideas of the culture and the values of the culture, and quantities of things, more is better than less, power is great above others. But those values are upside down in the gospel's terms. And when the landowner tells his foreman, pay the people, but pay the last ones first, and pay the first ones last, he's giving us an example of something he talks about in another place, where he says, if you go to a banquet, don't seat yourself at the head of the table, but take the least seat. Because then you may be acknowledged by the master of the feast as, move up, and you'll be pleased. But if you take the best seat for yourself, and he says that belongs to somebody else, you're going to be humiliated, and you won't like it. Or as Paul tells us, that he emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, and not thinking the qualities that his Christness as Son got from God worthy of clinging to, he emptied himself and took the least seat. He took the lowest place. He took the place so low that no one will ever be able to get lower. He and God went down into the darkest, 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 darkest places of the human psyche, where none of us want to go, and there he planted the flag of heaven and said, God is one. He elevated the whole species in that moment, in that act, which is referred to sometimes as the harrowing of hell. But in accepting an innocent death, accepting the abuse of others, he turns the human value systems on their heads. And he said, it is the vulnerable who are most strong. And in all of the Beatitudes, he's talking about not buying the human value system that likes to overcome others or tell others what to do or be proud or be in control. He's just saying, let the world be what the world is. Find your center in me. I own the vineyard. I harvest the grapes. I tell what to do through my spirit, and all you need to do is listen to me, and I will lead you and guide you in ways that are appropriate for the people you are. You're just the right one to bear the fruit I want to get from you, and you're just the right one to bear the fruit I want to get from you. All of us are unique expressions of the unique human species, these biped, three-brained creatures. What amazingly creative creatures we are when we step out of the herd instinct, when we step out of aping the values of the culture around us or the people around us, when we give up the idea of telling others what to do and simply humbly and gratefully follow the spiritual leadings of God to the glory that is heaven on earth. We'll never get credit for it. Nobody's going to say you're wonderful. You're not going to get esteemed as the king of the heap. My goodness, it's interesting to watch this phenomenon in a political season, as lots of people want to wave over the rest of the tree. Let me do the waving. Watch out for the buckthorns. Before we finish, I just want to share with you that weekly you see me turn this crucifix with the corpus of a crucified man on it around to reveal that on the other side is a grapevine laden with fruit. So the idea, of course, is that this is where the fruit is in picking up our crosses, the difficult things in our lives, and following him to bear fruit in plenty. May the love, the peace, and the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us now and always. Amen.